The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Don't touch that dial. It's the Morning Answer with Joey Hudson.
South Carolina Republican Party Chairman Drew McKissick.
Good morning, Joey.
From the 5th District, Congressman Ralph Norman.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Lieutenant Governor Pamela Abbott. Welcome in.
Hi, Joey.
Get caught up on what happened while you were sleeping with breaking news, weather, and traffic. Welcome to the Morning Answer with Joey Hudson. Live from the WeSellKiwi.com studios on 94.5 The Answer.
.705, lots to cover this hour. Republicans, according to TheHill.com, are experiencing a jolt of optimism in Georgia's hotly contested Senate race. They believe that the former football star Herschel Walker is starting to close the gap on Senator Raphael Warnock. So all of our folks in Georgia, This is good news. You got to work a little harder, focus a little more, and let's bring Herschel through. Wouldn't that be crazy if we were able to pick up that seat as well? Because a lot of people have said no chance. Also, making good on his campaign promises, Virginia's Governor Glenn Youngkin has overseen a new state guidance on how schools should handle trans issues, reversing some of the last governor's extreme policies. For example, schools can no longer keep kids' choices secret from their parents. Gone are the rights to compete in sports as your ID'd rather than your biological gender. Same for bathrooms, locker rooms, and other such spaces. Father-daughter dances and the like are no longer forbidden. Several examples. I'll give you some of the details here in just a minute as this whole trans identity issue is coming up all around the country. For example, it was revealed just this past week that Vanderbilt University Medical Center has what they call trans buddies assigned to transgender patients, including children, as they're considering the medical process. Some believe that these trans buddies are actually pressuring these young people into going through with surgeries that they may later regret as they get older, become more mature. Also, a three-judge appeals court panel yesterday granted the Department of Justice's request to continue its review of classified documents that were seized in the FBI search of Mar-a-Lago. This as part of their investigation of former President Donald Trump. You know, this poor man, we talked last hour quite a bit about the New York Attorney General Letitia James taking civil action against President Trump and his family and his company. And then on the other hand, you've got him fighting off this effort by the Department of Justice. I mean, the man's legal fees have to be astronomical. At what point does he just say, hey, forget this. I'm moving to another country or something. The appellate judges also allowed a review by a special master appointed by Florida Judge Eileen Cannon to continue simultaneously. The issue here was that Judge Cannon had temporarily barred the Justice Department investigators from using documents in the investigation until the special master could review them. The Justice Department had argued all along that they did not want their investigation delayed while this was taking place, that they could both be reviewing the documents simultaneously. The judge initially said no. She was overruled by this appeals court. The Department of Justice Friday asked the court for access to classified documents seized last month at the president's home in Florida. Justice Department official said in a court motion that the materials taken from Trump's South Florida estate included highly sensitive documents and that denying prosecutors immediate access to those records would delay their investigation at a heightened risk to national security. They always throw in that national security argument, don't they? In other news yesterday, you know, President Biden, of course, on 60 Minutes, claimed that the pandemic is over. He's very clear. Listen to his words.
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over. If you notice, no one's wearing masks. Everybody seems to be in pretty good shape.
And I think he's right. I think the pandemic, as we knew it a year or so ago or 2 years ago, is over. Since he made that statement, though, his staff has forced him to walk it back. But Representative Claudia Tenney, she's a Republican from New York, says that Biden should not extend the public health emergency, or the PHE as it's known, when it's up for renewal next month in October. She wrote a letter to Biden yesterday in response to his claim that the pandemic is over. She said, "I therefore urge you to end the PHE. Should you choose to renew the PHE upon its expiration in October, I request an explanation for why this administration has determined such an extraordinary measure should be taken, given your statement on that record that the pandemic is over. I thank you in advance for your time and attention to this matter and look forward to your response." I wouldn't look too forward to it because I doubt that she'll ever get a response. But she's right. The public health emergency has been active since January of 2020. Biden renewed it last in July. It comes up each quarter. Tenney's letter to Biden read in part, "Even the White House's top medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, has said that the virus likely will never be eradicated. Of course, the appropriate response then is to learn to live with and manage the virus, not to perpetuate a constant state of emergency and government control that allows our rights to be infringed upon." She wrote, "Instead of renewing the PHE, you should terminate it consistent with your assessment that the pandemic is over. The American people returning to normal life, the federal government must also return to normal." National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Director Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday said that he knew the draconian COVID-19 policies that he pushed would lead to what he called collateral negative consequences for both the economy and for school children, yet he did it anyway. Fauci's comments came during a one-day panel that he was on. It's called the Atlantic Festival. It's a convention by media outlets that features speeches and interviews from prominent members of the media, government officials, political activists. And during the event, Dr. Fauci spoke with the Atlantic editor, Ross Anderson, in front of a live audience. He talked about his experiences as the leading medical professional working with the federal government during COVID. He blamed divisiveness on social media for turning every piece of his guidance during the pandemic into a confusing and controversial statement, he said. Yeah, blame social media. You 1 minute are saying wear a mask, the next minute you're saying don't wear a mask, then you come back and say wear two masks, and you're blaming that on social media? Fauci then justified his harsh COVID guidance, including pushing the federal government to mandate lockdowns, mask, and then, of course, vaccinations. He blamed it he says that he had to do it because hospitals were becoming overrun. In one segment of his talk, the doctor spoke about his guidance in instituting the draconian pandemic guidance, knowing full well that it was going to cause damage to a lot of people.
Of course, when you make recommendations, if the primary goal when you're dealing with a situation where the hospitals were being overrun in New York, intensive care units were being put in hallways, you have to do something that's rather draconian. And sometimes when you do draconian things, it has collateral negative consequences. Just like when you shut things down, even temporarily, it does have deleterious consequences on the economy, on the school children. You know that, but you have to make a balance.
Well, where was the balance? I'm not sure I understand where your balance was there, Dr. Fauci. Because at the time, we suspected this was going to have very negative effects, particularly on young school children. We now have confirmed that. There was a bombshell education report earlier this month that revealed that COVID-19 lockdowns, which led to school closures and virtual learning policies, resulted in what the Department of Education said was the largest average score decline in reading since 1990. And the first ever score decline in mathematics among the nation's school children. So think about that. That's what we those are the benefits that we receive from the school closures and lockdowns. Kids learning to read declined to its worst since 1990, and the first time ever that they had a decline in knowledge of math. Sometimes there's just no substitute for sitting in the classroom with your teacher. 877-235-9405. It's Thursday. Thankful Thursday. What are you thankful for? Love to hear from you. Option one, Tommy, put you in queue. We'll talk as time permits. Option two, leave a quick message. It's 716.
It's the Morning Answer on 94.5, The Answer.
The number of concealed weapons permits issued across the country has soared over the past couple of years. No one's really been surprised. If you want to join the ranks of concealed carriers, and CNC Indoor Range has you covered. You can register for their one-day Saturday session online at ccindoorrange.com. Just select the training tab and get registered. I'd suggest you do this because they fill up quickly. And if you want to get it this fall, go ahead and get into class. Now, some of you say, well, I can't give up an entire Saturday. I got to do the grass, or I'm playing golf, or I'm going fishing. Well, CNC Indoor Range, they have a solution for that as well. They offer a split South Carolina CWP course where you take the first half on a Tuesday evening, then you complete the course later on a Thursday. That's just one of many examples of how CNC Indoor Range, the Morning Answer's premier gun shop, caters to their customers' needs. So if you've been thinking about getting your CWP permit, like so many Americans have, then register online at ccindoorrange.com, ccindoorrange.com, select the training tab. And while you're there, check out all the other training opportunities they have, plus the great deals on ammo. And, of course, it's hunting season. They have they have everything you need for hunting as well. They're conveniently located at 8287 Asheville Highway in Spartanburg. ccindoorrange.com is 718.
Welcome back to the Morning Answer. Want to talk to Joey? Give us a call on the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition call line, 877-235-9405. PhD, the official weight loss program of the Clemson Tigers. Now, here's Joey Hudson on 94.5 The Answer.
CNC 722, a lot of text messages coming in on the Big Rock text line. Yours is welcome. Bobby suggesting that we start a GoFundMe page for President Trump and his legal fees. I think Donald Trump will be okay. It's just money that he shouldn't have to spend to have these publicly supported attorney generals like Letitia James going after he and his family and his business organization. Doesn't cost her anything. She's spending New Yorkers' money. Portions of today's show brought to you by the Bank of Traverse Rest. When you bank with the Bank of Traverse Rest, you know that you're banking with your hometown bank. They support their community. They support their customers. Banking should be personal, or at least that's how my bank, the Bank of Traverse Rest, sees it. Learn more about the Bank of Traverse Rest at bankoftraversrest.com. Member FDIC. By the way, the House Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol protest. They have formally announced that they're going to have their first fall meeting September the 28th, next week. Committee members have declined to elaborate on the topic for the hearing. It's slated to start at around 1 o'clock that day. The hearing comes as members of the panel have said that they've continued to gain new details about the protest at the Capitol during their August recess, as they've had time to do some further investigation. It's going to be interesting to know what these new details are, isn't it? The panel did not announce any in-person witnesses for the hearing. Chairman Benny Thompson said that members had not yet decided whether there should be any. He did say that each of the members of the nine-member panel would play a special role, that they each would have an appropriate role in the process. It's just another example of a witch hunt. You had Liz Cheney's legislation passed this past week where she's trying to change the role that the vice president would play in the process, so that it would avoid any potential future situations where a vice president might actually try to stop the electoral vote. Members of the panel, the January 6th panel, say that they're making progress in reviewing the communications of the Secret Service on January the 5th and January the 6th. I mean, how much time are they going to spend on this? We know what happened, and not all of it was pretty. I mean, some of it should not have happened. We recognize that. And there's still people who were there sitting in jail. You got this guy in New York who had the attack with an axe in McDonald's. He's out on the street on bail. You got the guy who admitted that he killed this young teenager, ran over him because of his extreme Republican views. He's out on bail, $50,000 bond. But you got some people who were protesting at the Capitol on January the 6th, and they've been sitting in jail ever since. We'll see. We'll see what new details they have. This lawsuit, this class action lawsuit that has been filed against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, of course, has elevated this whole situation to a higher level. A lot of people say that the Republican governor decision last week to transport migrants to Martha's Vineyard has brought renewed scrutiny to the same actions that Joe Biden did just last year. The Washington Examiner reported more than 2,000 immigrants were sent to Westchester County, New York, and nearby areas by federal officials between June and October of 2021, and more to airports in Scranton and Allentown in Pennsylvania. Representative Dan Muser, a Republican from Pennsylvania, said, "We've had these secretive flights, or their attempts to be secretive, into the Scranton, Wilkes-Barre area. We have since learned that more than 70 migrant flights arrived in Florida last summer, according to Governor DeSantis' office. Nearly two dozen immigrant children were dropped off in Iowa at the Des Moines airport in April of 2021. Representative Cindy Axne, a Democrat in Iowa, a Democrat now, pushed for a probe into the flight. She said, "I joined Governor Reynolds in demanding further investigation and disclosure from HHS to determine why this flight was kept secret and why its existence was denied to both the public and to public officials seeking to learn the whole truth." And this is typical, isn't it? They come down on Ron DeSantis because he charters two flights to take 50 illegals to Martha's Vineyard. But yet last year, Joe Biden literally flew thousands all around the country, and he tried to keep it a secret. They did it in the middle of the night. At least Ron DeSantis did it in daylight. According to records, Biden sent at least four planes to Chattanooga, Tennessee last year. Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn said, "Our office has received no information from the Biden administration informing us of a mass transportation of migrants to Tennessee. It is absolutely unacceptable that the Biden administration is facilitating a mass migration without any input or oversight from Tennesseans and the affected communities." But yet we have this group of Venezuelan migrants, illegals, who were flown to Martha's Vineyard last week by the governor. They signed waivers. They knew what they were doing, but yet now they're falling into this trap of filing a class action lawsuit against the governor. That's the crazy world we're living in. 877-235-9405. Senator Josh Kimbrell is going to join us up here in just a few minutes to give us an update. Next week, the South Carolina House is expected to review some of the changes that the Senate made in the abortion bill that's being considered by the state legislature. Representative John McCravey heading up that effort on the House side. Senator Josh Kimbrell is going to give us an update on the changes the Senate made and what he thinks the next steps are. It's 7:30 on The Morning Answer.
On news.
The family of one of the cheerleading coaches named in a federal sexual abuse lawsuit against the former upstate facility called Rockstar Cheer publicly denies the allegations. Red Banyan, a crisis public relations firm out of Florida, released a statement Wednesday from the family of Kenneth Feely saying they are dismayed and stunned by the accusations. The lawsuit, first filed on September 1st by the Strom Law Firm in Columbia, names the late Scott Foster, who owned Rockstar Cheerleading and Dance in Greer, and Foster's wife, Kathy. Feely is one of six cheer coaches named in a now-expanded lawsuit filed on September 16th. He, along with Josh Guyton, Nathan Plant, Trayvon Black, and Peter Hawley, have been temporarily barred by governing body USA Cheer. According to the website, Christopher Hinton has been permanently barred from the sport. A 63-year-old worker was found deceased in the public bathroom of Belk Department Store at the Columbiana Center Monday morning. Her body was not discovered for 4 days. According to authorities, Bessie Durham worked for an outside cleaning company. She was last seen on a surveillance camera entering the bathroom last Thursday morning around 7 a.m. She did not come out. The Lexington County Coroner's Office said there are no signs someone killed Durham or that she was using drugs. An autopsy is planned today to determine her cause of death. The store was open regularly over those 4 days, and police are investigating to see if anyone was negligent. And transportation projects in South Carolina have been accelerated thanks to additional federal and state funding. Officials with the South Carolina Department of Transportation and Governor McMaster were in Newberry County Wednesday to talk about the progress of a widening project on I-26 from Little Mountain towards Columbia. According to officials, the project is almost 60% complete and is expected to be finished ahead of schedule by the end of 2024. Transportation Secretary Christy Hall said more than $2 billion has been invested in projects. Currently, 80 miles of interstate highway in South Carolina are under construction. Other projects planned on I-26 are also expected to be completed ahead of schedule. I'm Stacey Bartrow with The Answer on News.
The Bank of Travelers Rest. Answer on weather.
One more hot one, then a front will come through and big changes by tomorrow. Clear this morning with a few clouds this afternoon, an isolated shower thunderstorm with the front, 93. Much cooler tonight, breezy, 54. Sunny tomorrow, 75. I'm meteorologist Ray Stajic with The Answer from a Weather Channel on 94.5 WGTK, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.